my love today. I have met my love today. Doesn't really matter what we had to say. I have met my love today. I've been holding on for you. Dreams I've had have all come true. I've seen your picture and I knew you right away. I have met my love today.
All right, here we are. Welcome, everybody. You are listening to KWMR 90.5 Point Reyes Station, 89.9 Bolinas, and 92.3 San Geronimo Valley. And we are the Westboro Naturalist Hour with myself, Seamus, Dallas, and Liz. And let's play a little intro song, and we'll be with you shortly. Okie dokie.
Yeah.
Here we are. What's up, everybody?
Morning.
Morning.
Morning. Nice, mild, foggy, beautiful morning.
Yeah. A little break in the rain.
Yeah. It was heavy last night.
It was.
That was wild.
Real rain.
Yeah. It was like, this is not messing around rain. This is like bucket.
So, yeah, especially paired with all that wind, you know, you always look at your trees like, is everything up to stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. Power stayed on, though. No, yeah. As far as I know. And then
I think there's some outages in Bolinas, but...
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, here we are. And if you're just tuning in, we're just getting started. This is Westboro Naturalist Hour on KWMR. And we originally had a guest, but they are out...
Not feeling well today.
So we're...
Tis the season, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Good day to be cozy at home.
Yeah. So we're going to ride solo, and I think we'll give updates, maybe talk about a few things, play a few songs.
Oh, yeah.
Want to take in some callers today, if anyone?
Yeah, sure.
If you feel like calling in today, any observations or updates about what's happening in the natural world in our communities out here in West Marin, give us a call at 415-663-8492. It's a good day to take phone calls, and love to hear your observations, thoughts, and... Yeah. My stomach just growled. Breakfast yet? Totally.
Well, in the meantime, let's kind of jump into some weather. Yeah. So it looks like we have another wet week ahead of us with more rain through the end of the week. And now it looks like maybe even through the end of the month. So make sure to prepare for that. And I was taking a look this morning. As of February 12th, Marin Water's 7 reservoirs were about 98% full. So I think this probably should knock us over 100% full again.
I'm wondering if I could name all 7 reservoirs.
Yeah, off the top of your head.
I don't think I want to do that. But 7 seems like a lot.
Yeah,
7 reservoirs for West Marin? Marin County.
Yeah.
In total. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't do that. Yeah, that's for sure.
Bontempi? Mm-hmm. Sulahuli?
Yep.
Nicasio Reservoir. Mm-hmm. What are the other couple up on their Mount Tam?
Got Alpine Lake.
Alpine.
Yep. Phoenix Lake?
Phoenix. Does that get us to seven?
Nicasio. Did we say Nicasio yet?
Probably need like two of those. Or
Kent, then yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm pretty sure we got all seven there. So that being said, you know, it looks like as far as weather goes, there'll be highs in the mid-50s for the rest of the week, you know, and nighttime will be dropping into the 40s, with the exception of this Thursday, where it's going to drop down into the 30s.
Did so. I hear a rumor?
Really?
Maybe
with weather systems and it's in the 30s at night?
Maybe snow on Mount Tam.
That's what I was just thinking actually as well. You know, usually if you see kind of the moisture like this.
Snowball fight up at Mount Tam Thursday.
When's the last time that happened on Mount Tam?
It'd be like Friday morning, early morning, okay. Really, right? Yeah. I think we got snow on Mount Tam a few years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say a few years ago, it got dusted, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe an inch or two.
Every 10 years or so.
Over the years, you'll get it where it comes down pretty low. So yeah.
I bet the mountains are getting some good snow finally.
There was, like traffic advisory for people going out this weekend. Like if you were going, Saturday was the day.
Yeah,
once
it's good. The mountains
around.
Really needed it. I think they were a lot of places in
Sierras. Like not just the Sierras. Like Colorado didn't really get much snow this winter either. And
pretty much just the East Coast, you know.
Yeah. East Coast got one storm.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's good. It's good. It's good we're getting the rain again. Although, man, I was enjoying that sunshine for the whole month of January.
It was so good.
Felt like summer. It was wild.
I know we get those random summers in January. Yeah. I appreciated it, especially once I saw the rain in the forecast. I was like, okay, I don't have to feel so guilty about this.
Yeah, for sure. I know it's a good thing, and it's good to have our reservoirs full and it's all good.
And I bet the toads are happy. We talked about toads last week with Sharon Barnett.
That was a great
California
episode.
Toad crew.
Oh man,
that was a really good episode.
That was fun.
Totally. I've been looking all around our neighborhood. There's a couple different little ponds, and I'm like, I wonder if the toads are here.
Yeah, if you get a chance to, they're all archived online. You can find them on our website as well. So,
speaking about another episode that we just we were just talking about the elephant seals on our about a month ago with Fiona O'Kelly.
Yeah.
So it's nice to give a mention about what's going on.
I would like to mention that they've had at least eight seals come in this year. With recent shark bites. Not attacks. Remember, we don't call them that. Bites.
Bites.
Sharks just got to feed. You know? It's not an attack.
Yeah.
Tomato, tomato. But
not if you ask California White Shark Project.
Really?
They're just hungry.
Yeah. And it is cool to be able to see the evidence of that as well. Because, you know, at Drake's Beach, you can see them so close. And there's docents there. So if you...
Safely close, exactly.
There's a fence there. There's actually appropriate space. Mm-hmm. If you can, bring your binoculars. It helps, especially if you're looking specifically for the bites. Because they're pretty wild how fast they grow and how they rejuvenate. And, like, they don't really, like, grow back, essentially. But you see these big divots out of them. But it's just, like, through all that blubber.
Yeah.
That was one of those things that Ranger Fiona was talking about on that episode, was like they're studying the healing properties of elephant seals because they are such quick healers and they do remarkably well even with these massive gashes from white sharks. It just makes me wonder, like, how many elephant seals are the sharks eating? You know what I mean? Like, if those are the ones that made it through, like. There's just so much to unpack there. I have so many questions.
I rarely see the carcasses, you know, as we walk around the beaches, you know, but that being said, maybe they make good use of them, you know, so.
Yeah. You know, my understanding is, you know, being white sharks being like this apex predator, and most large apex predators are not successful in their hunts, you know, most of the time. Mm-hmm. So I imagine this would be a great question for the White Shark Project, but how many,
Maxine, if you're listening this morning,
how many tries does it take to get an elephant seal with the white sharks? And then maybe that is not necessarily,
I think, just one.
Well, you could get a lot of nibbles and misses, and you know, or they didn't quite get it. Mm-hmm. I just wonder how many successful attempts, you know, when they're hunting are successful, and how many are not with the white sharks. Because, like I said, a lot of apex predators, you know, especially large animals, most of the time they're not successful with that one time they get fed for days.
Right.
Right. Those big events.
Well, I'm not sure that the elephant seal docents have that answer, but they have lots of other answers and fun facts for you.
It's kind of like asking how many licks does it take to get to the bottom of the
That's kind of the nature
totally,
of our show.
Totally right. Well, they are there from 10 to 4 p.m.
10 yeah, to 4 every
yeah,
day.
Those are the times. Yeah. So.
Should we play one of our... We have a bunch of songs queued up for the day.
Yeah.
Want to take a musical break?
Do you want to start with the first one, with Ocean Eyes?
Ocean Eyes by Billie Eilish?
I'm sure some of those white sharks have those ocean eyes for yeah. elephant seals.
Ocean Eyes. Maybe that's Hungry
that's
Eyes.
That's a different one?
Yeah, that's a different one.
Same thing.
All right, here we go. A cover of Hungry Eyes.
And if anyone wants to call in afterwards, again, the phone number is 415-663-8492.
Yeah, I'm taking phone calls. All right, here's some Billie Eilish.
I've been watching you for some time. Can't stop staring at those ocean eyes. Burning cities and napalm skies. 15 flares inside those ocean eyes. Your ocean.
That's a nice song. I've never heard that before.
Are you not super into Billie Eilish?
You know, I really never really paid much attention. I don't listen to a lot of
pop. She's pretty great.
Top 40. She's great. Recently I actually went down a Billie Eilish rabbit hole and listened to some of her music and saw some of her videos. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
this is
really
good.
Haven't heard much of her music at all either, but I heard that one somewhere randomly and it like got stuck in my head. Yeah. And I was like, what was that? And I looked up and I'm like, that's Billie Eilish, yeah. huh?
It's nice. It's nice. It's definitely nice rainy weather, you know, music.
These guys have been sleeping on Billie Eilish.
I know. It's true. I was not familiar.
Well, speaking of music.
Yeah.
There's lots of fun stuff coming up. I have this whole little flyer here about music in West Marin, and we can get into some of that. But there's also an event coming up down at Slide Ranch.
There is, yeah. Actually, a really fun one. I just bought us tickets this morning for it because I was so excited about it. February 28th is actually, they're doing a farm and music experience at Slide Ranch, and it's with Rising Appalachia. We've actually featured a few of their songs. I may even try to find one for today as well. And it's they're basically going to be having their music in the garden at Slide Ranch, and I believe you can start at 3 o'clock where you can roam the ranch and in the afternoon light, and it's also low tide at that time, so you can go out and go tide pooling, and then at 5 o'clock there's a shared dinner, and then right as sunset hits in, there's going to be some music in the garden. So
how fun.
Should be a pretty special event, and I think the money goes to Slide Ranch, which does some amazing work in the community with kids, so really fun one, and I know Liz and I are going to be there as well, so come join us.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Right?
I bet tide pooling at Slide Ranch is probably pretty awesome.
I'd say it'd be
yeah,
because
it's good kind of rocky terrain, nice little crevices for all sorts of creatures.
Have you done much running down there or like?
Yeah, I've done some. Yeah, and there's like some rock climbing down there.
Oh right.
Yeah, that area I have going down Slide Ranch. I haven't really run down there. I remember doing some rock climbing and adventures down there, but yeah, I've never tide pooled out there. That'd be kind of a neat area to do it.
I know. I'm super stoked for it. So, you know, and if for some reason the weather comes in, they're going to reschedule it to the next day. I think they said to March 1st, which is the next day. You know?
Yeah.
So we'll see if the weather will allow it, but I got my fingers crossed that maybe we'll get a little break in the rain.
Yeah.
And then actually speaking of more music, you know, for tomorrow is Fat Tuesday. So Mardi Gras celebrations are happening all around. So Lagunitas Brewing Company is actually having their Petaluma Music Festival as well. So, I mean, again, I think that's we'll see how the weather treats that you know, because it's going to be a lot of going to be food trucks, and there's music from the King Street Giants. There's costumes, beads, and a party atmosphere. So I'm excited and optimistic, I guess, for tomorrow.
Nice.
Did we have anything else on that West Marin flyer that was coming up here?
On Friday, February 20th, there's Wake the Dead, the world's only Celtic all-star Grateful Dead jam band. It's dinner and music at Rancho on Friday, February 20th.
Nice. And actually, this is not on the flyer, but I think this actually totally makes the music hit. Is there sea shanties and sing-alongs?
Oh, yes.
This is going to be coming up on Saturday, February 21st. That's going to be with Ranger Fiona, our personal favorite. And she's going to be...
This is just a Ranger Fiona update show. Elephant seals, sea shanties. She's doing it all right now.
Right, totally. That's at the Ken Patrick Visitor Center at Drake's Beach. So you can go out there and see the elephant seals beforehand.
And sing to them.
And sing to them. You got it, totally. So bring your best elephant seal songs. Our little selkies out there.
Yeah. You know, it's something that it's kind of the sound. I've never heard of this until we were preparing for the show a little bit this morning. Mm-hmm. There's a kind of a community check-in thing happening with the Nature Conservancy every Thursday.
Yes.
From 3 to 6:30.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I was thinking, like, there's never really been a platform like this I could think of out here where, I don't know, open to community input related to environmental, I don't know.
And park management.
Totally. Yeah.
We're definitely in a time of transition here. So as for all local communities, I encourage you to look into that more. They have something featured in the Point Reyes Light where you can be able to sign up. It is appointment only, but they are offering those. Do you have the times in front of you by any chance? When they're doing that?
Yeah, I do. It's every Thursday from 3 to 6:30, and it's at the HHS building, right? The West Marin Multi-Service Center.
Exactly, yeah. And you're signing up for 30-minute sessions, and then it's up to 4 community members of your choosing in that 30-minute session. And it says, join staff from the Nature Conservancy to discuss questions and updates on the organization's work at the Point Reyes National Seashore in support of the National Park Service. The sessions are not for media purposes, and by signing up, you're agreeing not to record these meetings. So that's what it says on the community check-ins page.
Interesting.
And it's really exciting, so I encourage people to take a look at that and sign up for that.
Yeah, and I think just community feedback and conservation. I'm just like those two thumbs up that they're doing this for me, because I just think it's awesome to get that community input. Absolutely. You know, and a lot of the environmental work we're doing out here, and so avenues like this I think are a really positive thing. So
yeah, we've kind of spread the word as much as possible because it's important for, you know, everybody to have their input be heard, and this is the time. So
yeah. And what else is going on here?
Well, this just in.
Oh, yeah?
I'm getting text messages. Some people don't want to call in, but
okay. Hot off the press.
And people do want to call in. The phone number is 415-663-8492.
So there is an annual event that happens in a couple months that we all participate in and are very excited about. It's the Point Reyes Birding and Nature Fest.
Oh, yeah.
Put on by EAC, Environmental Action Committee of West Marin. And their early bird ticket sales go on the February 20th. That's Friday, this coming Friday, at 10 from 10 to noon. And then
go through the 27th?
Yes. Well, no. Then they open to the public on the 27th at noon.
Okay.
Yeah. So early bird is going to be February 20th, just for a couple hours. And then February 27th at noon, it'll be open to everyone to sign up. So you can learn more at pointreyesbirdingfestival.org. And lots of fun stuff on there. We're doing a trip with Teresa Harlan.
Yes.
Oh, you are?
From
awesome.
The Alliance for Felix Cove,
yeah,
on
like
that Saturday. There's the free event for kids on Sunday, which is always a big hit.
I usually participate at one of the booths. Booths. last year was the elephant. Oh my gosh, I can't speak today.
Owl pellets.
Yeah. I was going to say elephant pellets.
take a little more time to dissect.
Oh, that would be wild. I would love to dissect an elephant pellet.
That's disgusting.
All right,
Of the possibilities.
Totally. Sunday's fun. Yeah, it's the family day, so it's that should be really exciting to go to.
And
well.
Dallas, you were correct that early bird registration is from the 20th to the 27th, and then the 27th is when it opens to the public.
Yeah.
Trying to think of what were some other cool things that I know where people were working on with that.
Oh, with the Nature and Bird Festival.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I don't know. I know we're on the.
Yeah, saving the dates again. The dates for the actual festival.
Oh, yeah, good point.
they're April 24th to the 26th this year. So it's really exciting for it. So, keep your eyes open for more updates. We'll definitely do another show as we get closer.
Totally. We'll have EAC on to talk about all of it.
Just want to get you all ready for the early bird tickets because they are coming. That opens up in 4 days.
So, oh, wow. Okay.
It's right around the corner.
They will also have some volunteer opportunities. So even if you... I don't know, are unable to, pay for it or whatever. I think if you volunteer, you can get spots on different things and you can volunteer to be like the field liaison for them. And then you go on that trip. So there's lots of ways to be involved.
Yeah, there's so much happening.
Yeah.
It's such a big undertaking. It's really cool. Really excited for this year.
And I guess it's also important to point out, I know there's the birding and then there's so much more than just about the
there's
birds.
There's usually some photography stuff and there's things that are geared towards youth. And then it's also not just here in Point Reyes. It's all over Marin,
and it's not
Sonoma
just about birding. It's about all sorts of things going on out here in the natural world. So.
And it's a fun celebration, you know, and then everybody gets together and there's a big dinner and...
So one thing you put on here that I found interesting, I forget where you put it. There's some event about sudden oak death.
So Friends of China Camp, they're putting together a speaker series. And the next one that's coming up is actually going to be featuring a talk about sudden oak death. Learning more about their oak ecosystems and the disease impacts. So that's something that affects us all here in Marin County.
Yeah. It was making me think how much we get it in West Marin, sudden oak.
It's a lot of it's released by burning, and we are in an area that is definitely a higher concentration of wood burning areas, I would think. So I don't know if that connects with it, but just my brain thinks.
Yeah, and it's a fungus, right? It's it gets in the bark of the trees and basically cuts off their nutrients.
I don't know as much to talk about it, but after the 20th, I can come back and talk more about it.
Where is that? What were the details on that again?
Let me see. Dun, 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 dun. I actually can pull that up here. So that one is happening, speaker series, at the China Camp Village Museum. And that's going to be from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. on Friday the 20th.
Yeah.
So it's free if you're a member, and if not, it's a $5 donation appreciated from non-members.
Oh, that's great. That's very approachable for everybody.
Yeah, no kidding.
Totally.
And it's an important topic. I know it's an invasive species that does have a high impact on our coastal, live oak. And not just oak trees, apparently. I mean, it could affect rhododendrons and all sorts of other plant species besides oak. So...
Yeah, totally. And he said, it sounds like they're going to be talking about like community science and helping gather like critical data. They're also doing like sudden oak death blitzes, like large scale volunteer based surveys on sudden oak death prevalence in California. So that can be kind of cool for ways to like learn how you can join the BioBlitz.
That'd be a great topic on the show.
That's a great BioBlitz. Like, I appreciate a BioBlitz just because it's like a fun scavenger hunt in general, is sort of how they're done. But like, to do that, to identify as many places as possible with as many people on the ground as possible and like get this snapshot in time, I think that sounds...
That is pretty neat.
Yeah.
Writing ourselves a note to be able to contact these guys for the next time.
Yeah.
If you're listening, let us know if you want to come on the show.
Yeah, that would be a really fun topic.
It will, I think, you know, so... You know, we just put together an email list for a whole bunch of folks through May, so we have some really cool topics coming up. So
nice.
That being said, you know, if you're listening and you have a topic that you're interested in or you want people to know more about, feel free to be able to, you know, I guess send us an email to Point Reyes Venture Co. That's probably one of the easiest ways to be able to do it, because Liz and I also own Point Reyes Venture Co. And just kind of let us know what you got, and we'd love to be able to put you on the air. And one more time before we break for the mid-show break, also, if you want to call in with any updates, you know, on anything wild that you've been seeing, anything that you think the community should know, the number here is 415-663-8492.
Nice. Should we play another song?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think it's about time. What we got next on our list?
Only Happy When It Rains by Garbage.
Do you want to do it? I'll go for it.
Yeah, it's a good one. I think it's appropriate because we should be rejoicing with the rains we're getting here. It's just critically important for all of us out here to get good amount of water. So anyways, let's play Only Happy When It Rains by Garbage.
Yeah.
And we'll be back. When it rains, I feel good when Rejoice. We are back, and it is raining. So we're happy that it's raining. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to KWMR, and this is the Westmoreland Naturalist Hour. KWMR's 90.5 Point Reyes Station, 89.9 Bolinas, and 92.3 San Geronimo Valley. And today we're giving, since our guest called in sick today, we're giving updates about things we know happening in the area, talking about this and that. And normally we'd have messages from sponsors, but we couldn't find anything.
So we'll do this one. KWMR is underwritten by Point Reyes Adventure Co., offering tours and rentals from kayaking to yoga and day trips to overnights. More information at pointreyesadventureco.com.
And, you know, observation. Well, this has actually been about a handful of year observation for me, because I spend a lot of time on the Sky Trail, right?
Right, yeah.
You know, I'm out there. Trail running is one of my favorite hobbies, and I love that trail. And it's been really interesting to see its evolution since the Woodward Fire, you know, in 2020, was it?
2020, yeah. Everything happened in 2020.
Everything happened in 2020. It felt like the apocalypse, especially when that was going on and all the surroundings. That was wild.
So many fires. That was insane.
In the height of COVID. And anyways, so since then, you know, just running it, it's just been it's such an interesting experience seeing that area, how it's evolved, devolved, however you want to put it, like how it's changed. And one thing I've noticed, even running it a couple days ago and we had a break in the weather, it's drier up there.
Yeah.
You know, it's especially like towards the top of the ridge and beyond. You used to have a lot more, you know, a lot of the canopy was burned, right, in the Woodward Fire on Mount Wittenberg. And without that canopy, you have less fog being collected, all that moisture, because, you know, the fog runs up the hill and gets trapped up there a lot. And even this time of year where we're getting more rain, I notice it's like drier than...
Spoiler alert, we do have someone that will be coming on to talk about coastal fog.
Oh, yes. This will be great to bring up with them. Because what I've noticed over the years is less fog, because there's less canopy layer, is being collected on the ridgeline. And so you have less puddles on the trails and less mud. And it's just a drier atmosphere. And that in turn kind of changes the what plants are growing around.
Yeah, and less canopy, the more sunlight, so it's going to like dry.
Exactly. You know, it's been super noticeable since the Woodward Fire. And, you know, a lot of that fire was really interesting, because the top of the, you know, there's a lot of like old growth dug firs, you know, especially towards like Sky Camp that survived, you know, when they're older, they have larger.
Good insulation,
and the branches are higher, so the fire doesn't climb like a ladder as much.
Benefits them.
Yeah, for sure. And it clears out space and competition. And so a lot of those trees are still doing fine, but even so, like the canopy is so much less, you know. And it's been really interesting to see the contours of the hills where you couldn't before in some of these areas. But I would be curious, I don't know if there's anyone studying this, just the amount of moisture and fog that is not now being collected in some of these areas, you know, on the hill mountainside there.
Yeah, that's a great question.
And also, I mean, like, not just here, but where there's been other major fires along the coast in places where there historically was a lot of fog and that being part of that ecosystem.
Yeah, and I've noticed, like, just the type of growth and what you're getting has changed. And also, like, areas along that trail, especially, like, the southern part of the Sky Trail, where it was once a lot more, I think, oak trees. Is now, you know, fields a loop in. It's beautiful in certain times of year. But there's areas where the fire just like decimated all the trees, right? And then there's other areas where it just kind of cleared out the bottom. It's just been really interesting to see the evolution of.
Those clearing out the bottom, like that's that good fire practices stuff that, like, I know All Hands Ecology is doing a ton of work with good fire and other orgs too that. Just clearing things out and making space for what can be without being so devastating.
Yeah. Because
then if we have fires
And it opens up scenes, right?
And being able to see the monitoring, we notice in person, you know, but it's also like to remind people, they have these monitoring sites. There's these little like poles that have a spot where you can set your phone down into it, and it'll take a set photo of a certain area. Huh. And then people can go back and you can submit that, and then you can go through and visually see the change, you know? And that's really cool that they've been doing that, because I forget exactly how many sites there are, but I know there are a few that are up there. And so anytime I go by, I always try to take a photo. and send it in because it's just cool to be able to use that like citizen science.
That is really neat. That would be awesome if they had a spot up there.
They have like five, is what he's saying.
Yeah.
So throughout the woodwork, it just looks like a small trail sign,
you know, but
But then like you set your phone and it holds your phone perfectly so that it's taking the exact same shot.
I never knew about that.
Yeah. It's like, it says help document the Woodward fire recovery by uploading to Chronolog, a photo monitoring tool that powered by people like you. And so it's cool. It's in sponsorship with Prensa as well. So it's a really cool location to go up there and see the change. Cause
I had no idea. When you go trail running through an area, it's like skimming through a really good book.
Exactly, totally. Well, in that area, sometimes. And it's so special to so many of us because it's like in a lot of our backyards, you know. And something you were talking about.
It's the Bay Area's backyard.
It is, totally. Well, and thinking about it specifically during COVID, you know, the only time we were allowed to go into the park is if you could access it by foot. So a lot of people would walk from our backyards and head up towards
the park. I got so much more intimate with the park.
Totally, right. So when the fire hit, all of a sudden, like our already limited spaces of where we could go dwindled down so much further. I remember feeling so, just that feeling of being like, all my special places, where can I go? And just having, we were really kind of doing more backyard hangs at that point. You know, I guess that's what was the safe space at that point. But just like talking about
old yard hang days.
Yeah, it was just like, gosh,
I just remember seeing you were visually watching that mountain burn, you know, and it was like watching a best friend die.
Totally.
That's a little dramatic, but.
No, because we'd have these bay leaves that were still kind of like
hot,
you know, falling in our yard. And it was just like, it was sad.
That was wild.
Having a little separation now, you know, those kind of places, they do bounce back quite fast from the fire. So now that we're 6 years out of it, I need to go back and look at some of those photos, you know.
And it's important to remind ourselves that fires do play a critical role out here.
Totally.
You know, in terms of their benefits and detraction from like or like destruction.
Mm-hmm. And like indigenous people have been burning forever to manage that. You know what I mean?
And the environment kind of relies on that to a certain extent, right? But what I found interesting about the Woodward fire, what I've noticed is because fires can burn too hot and like lose their ecological benefits. And it's not uniform in a certain fire, right? I think some of that might have happened in the Woodward fire where it burned in a way that was probably more destructive than productive. Mm-hmm. And then other areas where
– like up on that sky trail
area. Where it might have had more of that productive benefit, right? It's interesting because I think a fire you couldn't call one way or the other, you know. If it's good or bad.
Right. Yeah. Luckily, it didn't burn any structures, you know, so like that was – good,
yeah, for sure.
You know, in my mind, you know, as far as infecting human structures,
It has been a wild journey just regularly going up there and seeing the ecological changes and recovery. And
well, now you can go online and go through this.
That's really cool.
Chronolog,
I will do so. I'm totally going to go to that rabbit hole. I had no idea that existed.
Take your photo, you know, next time you go by, submit it, you know. So, I forget exactly where
I've seen those in other parks too.
Yeah, when you're there, you'll actually see there's a little QR code that tells you where to submit it to. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Let's talk about
all the parks. Yeah. You know, I mean, so there's one park that's been in the news a lot these days. You know, the Estero Americano opened up for folks, and that's, you know, it's great because it's such a beautiful place. It's been a special place in our hearts for so long, but also a little bit of like. What's called like the Instagram effect is happening a bit there, you know, where a lot of folks have been sharing it and you get folks that just want to go there, you know, just experience something new and they're not fully sure how to do it the right way, you know? So I think it like now is a great opportunity for like a lot of stewardship to come with that access. And the Wildlands Conservancy does an amazing job with that, you know? But maybe anyone who's listening now, it's a reminder that if you guys find yourself going there, it's our turns to be able to make sure that we're being respectful anytime we're going out there and, you know, making sure like you're looking at staying on the trail because I think a lot of people have been cutting off trails is what I've been kind of seeing as of late. So staying on trails is huge, you know. If you're bringing your dogs, I think it's a dog-friendly area, making sure they're staying on leash because it's a very sensitive area for the birds.
And
be considerate of the neighbors.
Yeah, totally. It's because it's a small parking area, if not maybe very minimal parking area at all. So that's one of the big things is if you can, you know, carpool when you do go out there, try to like pick times that are not during peak times, you know, because.
And also like if it's full, like then just continue on up to a bodega for the day or whatever.
Totally.
Like, come back another time.
There's so many amazing places to go to. You know, go up to the dunes. You know?
Does the Estero Americano have much of a trail system? I know people paddle the water.
So that's what he's talking about. This Headlands area is
a new trail system.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a new trail. It's,
it's
a new access. And it actually starts through, like, it goes through a community area, you know. And so it's any time a new area opens up, it definitely brings, like, an influx of people, you know. So I think it's just figuring out that medium right now.
Sure.
And I know the Wildlands, like I said, again, the Wildlands Conservancy does a fantastic job. I believe they also are partnering with Sonoma Land Trust out there as well. So I could be wrong, but I know they're all active in that particular area.
So I had misunderstood that. I thought it was better access to the waterways for paddling. But
No.
It's
the trails. Yeah, it's actually a new trail system that's out there. I'm trying to...
Huh, that went over my head. I did not realize that.
Yeah, totally.
I knew it was in the news a lot about being opened up, but I thought it was better access for...
No, there's
the
still
waters,
not really access to paddle there.
Yeah.
No, that's still a tough access point for sure. You know, that being said, I'll just kind of do a quick little bit reading here. So the particular preserve that they're at was acquired by the Wildlands Conservancy in 2015 through a visionary public-private partnership that included the State Coastal Conservancy, Sonoma County Ag and Open Space, the Gordon Betty Moore Foundation, Sonoma Land Trust, and individual donors. And the Estero Americano Coast Preserve protects 547 stunning acres.
That's a lot.
Marin
and
Sonoma counties meet. Yeah, because the Estero Americano is right on the border.
It's the Marin-Sonoma County border,
So the south part's Marin, the north part is going to be Sonoma County. So, and I believe Malt is very involved with some of the areas, so it's very well protected. It's a super special area.
And there's still active ranching.
Absolutely. But it's one of those areas that it doesn't have the ability to take on, like, large groups, you know? So now the word's out there. It's just good to know, like, what the capacity is and how best to be able to
enjoy
an area.
Place responsibly and respectfully.
Totally.
Yeah.
A lot of that comes to leave no trace, you know? And so, you know, plan ahead and prepare. So,
you know, we've almost made it an annual thing to play that episode. Because we did it. I interviewed you two about it.
We're about to do an update.
I think we'll redo that, revisit that, because Dallas and I have updated our certification through LNT. Recently, and
also, you know, I was looking at that. It's been 6 years since we started the show, so it's like it's about time to start bringing on some of the people from the beginning shows and getting some more updates too.
Yeah,
for sure. So, but that being said, the next round of stuff that I reached out to people are all new topics. You know, so. All of them are exciting, for sure.
Nice. Well, that's really exciting. I didn't realize it was a new trail system.
Totally. 547 acres. Yeah.
That's a lot of space to run, Seamus.
Think of the possibilities.
Totally. And it's actually, there's a 1 mile stretch along the mouth. That's part of the Gulf of Farallones National Marine Sanctuary. And actually, I was reading that wrong, so it's not quite as important. So never mind.
JK.
Just joking.
So,
you know who else we need to be considerate of these days?
The little ones on the road.
Skunks and newts.
Newts.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Skunks and newts.
Totally.
Sounds like the start of a children's book.
I know, right? Skunk and newt cross the road.
Totally. Yeah. Well, because the skunks, it's mating season, right? So we briefly touched on it last time.
Yeah. I don't know their mating rituals or what much about skunk mating, but they're a lot more active and on the roads, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. And you know, they're diggers. They like to get grubs and that kind of stuff. So sometimes
maybe that's what's been digging.
Yes,
at
I was going to say a lot of the times you'll see them in your yards. If you don't have a fenced-in yard, you'll see them digging for like grubs and other kind of stuff. So they're not going to be as big as a badger hole, but they make pretty nice size holes when they're digging
they're
around.
They're so cute.
I know.
It's unfortunate they smell so bad.
and that's actually kind of they do smell bad, but it's almost a myth as far as how often they spray. You know, because everyone kind of thinks like you see a skunk, they're going to spray it, but a lot of the times it's like their last ditch effort.
Yeah,
they'll hiss. I think some of them will even stand on their front.
I was going to say, I was just about to mention this. There could be two species, maybe both species of skunks do this, the spotted skunk and what's the other one? The
striped skunk.
And I know one of them loves to do handstands, right?
Yes.
Or do they both?
I'm not sure if they both do that or not, you know. Let's see. I'm not sure.
I remember the first time I saw that on a
another
picture.
Friend
blew
says
my mind.
They don't want to smell bad. It is a last ditch.
Exactly. It's a total,
like they smell bad when they do it.
It's
too.
A total last ditch effort for sure. I was just looking to see.
I think it's a spotted skunk that's known for their handstands. Yeah.
That would make sense, the spotted skunk, you know.
Maybe they both do them, but I think the spotted skunk loves it.
When's the last time Jerry was skunked?
Oh, that was he was young. Skunk. It was like 8 years ago. Oh. That was brutal. Oh, man, if your dog gets skunked and you live in a small space, it's not pleasant.
It is tough.
It's tough. That I could see why it's a line of defense for skunks because it is potent and hard to get rid of, and you don't want to get hit by it.
Yeah.
or even come near the stuff that they spray out. So
totally.
Now I have so many more questions. Like, what is the chemical composition and stuff of that?
Yeah.
Right? Like,
we should get, try to find a skunk expert.
Yeah, expert. Yeah. Calling all skunk experts.
actually, do we have one more? We got another song.
Yeah, we got another song. Yeah. But yeah,
let's pop one more song here. Jump into the rest of it.
Let's see, we do
Random Rab.
Yeah, Sunwater by Random Rab.
That was kind of fun.
All right, here we go.
Sunshine with the rain.
Yeah.
I can tell you, I didn't care.
Random Rab, everybody. I love it. So yeah. Peaceful. I love that song. It's nice.
It's always fun putting fine songs in the morning time for the shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a fourth ghost host today who just sent me an article in Bay Nature from January 2022, and it's called Why Do Skunks Dance? And it's by the beloved and cherished Michael Ellis,
nice.
Wonderful local naturalist. It's a 3-minute read, and if you've ever read anything from him or been on a trip, it's very cute. Lots
it's
of puns.
So much fun.
It's adorable. But yeah, you can learn why skunks dance and why they smell in this Bay Nature article from winter 2022.
By Michael Ellis, who's been on our show before.
You're not going to give the snapshot? Of why they...
Yeah, what's why they
oh
dance?
Oh, God, no, guys, don't put me on the spot.
All right, that's for you to read, actually,
yeah.
So...
Nice. Yeah. Well, you all are doing something pretty fun with the Magnolia Project coming up here. I want to talk about that.
Yeah. We are.
Yeah. Yeah, super excited, Liz.
So the Magnolia Project they started in Sonoma County and have now recently branched out into Marin County. They do internships for youth, usually in like the 8th grade to 9th grade range. That's what the demographic we're working with. And so throughout part of the school year, their teachers help them write a resume with like their relevant skills and work on interview process and just like kind of how to engage with the public from less of a kiddo standpoint, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You're a human and this is how we interact. So anyways, we're taking on a group of them for 3 days in March. Mm-hmm. And the first 2 days we're going to do kayak and naturalist guide training with them. And then on the last day, which is Friday, March 6th, they will actually be leading the kayak tour from Miller Boat Launch. And so you can sign up for that on our website. It's pointraiseadventureco.com. We have a web calendar there, and that specific event is on there.
It's $135 per person with all the proceeds going back to the Magnolia Project.
Yeah.
And we do have scholarships available. So
yes.
If you want to go out there and attend and support them, and that $135 is out of your budget, reach out to us at Point Reyes Venture Co. We can still find a way to get you out there for sure.
How neat. Well, I mean, what a way to get the stoke.
Oh, dude, we're so excited.
And this group of kids, they're so awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we got a chance to already do the interviews already. So there's 11 of them, and all 11 we're so excited about for
super
so many
rad.
Different ways. Yeah, they're really, really great people. So really excited to have them be able to guide next to us, you know. And what a cool, you know, opportunity to give these people that's, you know, we're in a water community, so these water skills are so important to have. And, you know, being able to talk to the public and have some stoke on their backyard. I'm really excited for that. And
yeah. They're all stoked on their backyard. That was really cool. That came through in the interviews. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we're also going to be the first day of that, the bigger day before they all start the program. We're going to be doing a Leave No Trace program, where all three of
us.
Nice.
I'll be part of that too.
Yeah, we're all going to be there. We'll be doing like rounds with like 30 some kids at a time, and we'll be doing some Leave No Trace activities for them. So we're super stoked just to be involved and to be able to like help the Magnolia Project, because this is something that's
it's so a cool
important.
Organization.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so important.
I've become familiar with them over the last year, and everything I've heard, it sounds like it's really they've been really successful. And so, I think they're new.
They're relatively new in general. Yeah. And you know, you can check their website out. It's magnolia-project.org. Yeah. They do a lot of great things out here. They've had some. We've actually talked to a few other people that have gone through this program before, and they've really loved it. You know,
yeah.
The kids and the providers. So it's something. If you're interested as like an organization, and you feel like you got something to offer these kids, you know, maybe it's something if you reach out to them for the next round. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I know they were really active. This is their first year in West Marin,
they were here this school year.
Right. This school year,
Yeah.
Before that, they've had a lot of success in their programs in Sonoma.
Yeah,
Sonoma
totally.
County,
and you know, it's a collection of schools when they come out there. So it's kind of cool. It's also kind of cool too, because it's like bringing these kids from different schools that are all neighbors, you know, and give them a chance to have the shared experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's fun. So I'm excited.
Awesome.
Actually, I think one of them I'm not naming names, but one of them has a radio show on KWMR as well. So maybe someday we'll do a little crossover
crossover episodes
totally,
coming up.
Totally, for sure.
Or we could even interview the kids on our show about the experience.
Oh, maybe we should do that. Yeah.
That's not a bad idea at all. For, you know. So yeah, it's, if you guys want, if anyone wants to sign up for that, you can go to our website, pointraiseadventureco.com, and send us an email at explore@pointraiseadventureco.com.
Nice. Well, it's almost going to be about that time. Should we?
It is.
Hop off on one last song here.
Yeah, totally. What you got for us?
Should we do "Rain Gonna Fall" with Dirt Wire?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, it's been fun, everybody. We will be back in a couple of weeks with a new guest, and we look forward to seeing you then. In the meantime, stay dry, stay awesome, and stay sane.
Have a great day, guys.
Oh, hello.